Today we're opening up God's Word into Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 20. Life's Important Choices is our theme for today. This is one of my favorite scriptures, has been, I guess, since the very first time I encountered it. You remember the history of the people of Israel. God brought them out of slavery. They messed up a bit. He kept them in the desert for 40 years. And then just before going into the promised land, Moses addressed the people for one last time. And that's what we're reading today, Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land that He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, this is the fulfillment of a very, very old and long promise, isn't it? The people of Israel, dating back through all of their patriarchs, had been looking for this time. And He's kind of marking it, calling heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and blessings, death and curses. There once was a family that had two sons. The younger brother had a dread of open doors. It's unclear where this odd fear originated, but at times he would exhibit the most bizarre, immobilizing terror when he encountered an open door. On one occasion, the older brother became exasperated, as older brothers will. He wanted to break his brother of this habit, and he threatened, "One day, I'm going to lock you up in a room with all of the doors open." You know, you contemplate that long enough and your palms are likely to moisten and create a little bit of uneasiness within. To think that a person can be immobilized by an inner weakness just as fully as if it was an outer obstacle. Yet that's exactly as what takes place when we disregard the freedom that's available to us through Jesus. How can one not choose life and blessing over curses, death and curses? But one thing is certain, choose we must. So the first thing we see in this passage is that choosing life means choosing love. At the end of his life, near the time of Israel going into the promised land, Moses reminded Israel that God was calling them to be all that they could be with His help. they could experience full life, and they could live it for what for all that it was worth. So what he's calling them here to is a covenant relationship. God had desired to cut a covenant with his people. So they're at a crossroads here. If they loved God, they walked in his ways, and were obedient to his law and his guidance, then, this is one of those if-then statements, they would experience life and blessings, and they would remain in the land that God had promised to them and their forefathers. In a very real sense, their relationship to God through these 40 years had been a courtship between two lovers, if you will. That's the way God refers to it in the prophets. He had wooed them in the desert as he had brought them out of the slavery in Egypt. And they had learned of his loving kindness, his trustworthiness, and his provision in the desert. Now it was time for the wedding ceremony, if you will. They were entering into God's promised blessing and hope. To remain faithful to this relationship, Israel needed to maintain fidelity and love for God, returning to him what he had already bestowed upon them. Jeremiah 31:3 expresses it so perfectly. God said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness." The response of Israel to that love would determine their very future. A loving response would result in a new way of life. It would issue forth in obedience to God's commands, decrees, and laws. So even in the Old Testament, we see that obedience always follows love. We don't earn love through our obedience. We show our love through our obedience. We express our love for God through our actions. And that is very New Testament understanding, isn't it? It really is. The U.S. Army has utilized many different themes in their recruiting ads over the years. I looked it up recently, and their current theme is, "What's your warrior?" Yeah, it really grabbed me. "What's your warrior?" Recently, it was, "Be an army of one." So they moved to kind of the individual perspective. But I remember that for many years it was, "Be all that you can be in the army." You remember that, of course. In a much greater way, God challenges us to be all that he can make us to be. By choosing life, by returning his love, by obedient living. Once again, life and blessing, death and destruction have been set before us today as we've read his word. Life and blessing offer a new life, a new walk, a walk that is characterized by peace and joy and love and acceptance, with life overflowing, is how Jesus described it, abundant life, marked by obedience to God's fatherly direction and guidance. So the question for us today is, are we still locked in rooms with open doors? Does sin still needlessly immobilize us? Jesus has thrown open the doors that were once locked by sin and death. Won't you be all that you can be through the Father's love? We also see in this passage that choosing death means choosing destruction. God is the author of life. He is life. Our only source of life is founded in him. Apart from God, there's only death. Destruction is our only other option. So Moses is reminding the people of Israel that if they refuse to love God, if they turn their backs upon him, if they replace God with other allegiances, other gods and idols, death would come. Death and hell have never been. Death and hell have never been God's first choice. His first choice has always been life and love. Death and hell stand as monuments to God's boundless love. A love that is powerful, but it never coerces us. If we're truly going to experience life, if we're truly going to experience love, if we're truly going to align ourselves with God, then He gives us that choice. But He doesn't choose us to choose Him. Does it force us to choose Him? To choose life, to choose love. But once we have chosen, the consequences are obvious and they're unavoidable. And in fact, because of our sinful nature, we already decided. Life without God is no life at all. It is death. Our short stay on earth is not life. Excuse me, not as God intended for us and what He has in store for us. It's a pseudo-living. It's a counterfeit. I hate to use this word because it's used so much today, but it's fake. James, the 4th chapter, verse 14, he says, "What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." We don't like to embrace that, do we? This looks beyond the brevity of our worldly existence. It talks about the fact that without God, we have no substance. I remember as a kid trying to go and catch the fog. Did you ever try to do that? You're standing here and there's like a wall in front of you and you really can't make out anything. So you run to get it and it's just that much further away from you, isn't it? And suddenly the things that you couldn't see are somewhat in view, barely. It seems so substantial, but when you get there and try to touch it, it's not there. It's elusive. This is a picture of our lives without God. Almost non-existent. Only a fleeting glimpse of what it could be. Soon with the sunrise, the mist vanishes, doesn't it? We were in South Carolina this last week visiting our grandbabies, and we had a lot of rain last week there, and so several mornings or several evenings, you look out and you see a lot of fog, a lot of moisture in the air. You know, suddenly death and destruction are upon us. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to say no to Jesus. To remain indecisive is the same as saying no. To not to decide is to decide. Do you remember, I don't think we see these much anymore, but they used to have book and record clubs. Do you remember that? You get the thing in the mail and they say, "We'll send you 5 CDs. We'll send you 5 books. And then once a month, we're going to send you a description of the next month's book or next month's CD. Do nothing and you will receive it and we'll bill you at the club price." So you had to act in order to not receive that selection, right? And heaven help you if you forgot or if it was late getting to you, you know, the notice. If you didn't send back in the card, you were going to get the offer for the next month. If we do nothing in response to God's gracious offer of life, we by default choose death. Sin has already taken care of our choice. Doing nothing is the same as choosing death. To avoid death, we must send in the selection card, if you will. We must choose life. What kind of life? Well, Jesus answered that in John 7:3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life, real life, as God intended it to be, and as He lives it, is knowing God and being truly known by Him. It's a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Or to use the Old Testament concept, it's a covenant relationship. Death is being cut off forever from this kind of knowledge. To know God is to experience Him as friend. That is so unexpected. You know, that's the whole thing about the Christmas incarnation, Advent experience. When we least expected it, God put on skin, He stepped out of heaven and drew close as a friend. But once you choose life, where do you acquire it? To Moses, now this is important for us to understand on this side of the cross. To Moses, the law was grace. It offered a path to life and to relationship with God. God had come close, and the path lay very near. That's what it's talking about in verses 11 to 14. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. Remember that last phrase. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart that you may obey it. But no matter how near the law had been brought to man, we had this sin problem. Our hearts are so estranged from God that doing and keeping the law was impossible. The law showed us the way to righteous living. It couldn't change our sinful nature. It just shone a greater light upon our lostness. The declaration, the word is in your heart, is not fully realized until Jesus came through the grace of God. Only His righteousness through faith makes the life that God offers possible to us. And that's where Romans 10, 4 through 13 come in. And I want you to listen in this passage because the Deuteronomy 30 passage is quoted here by Paul. Christ is the end of the law so that there, there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. We could just hunker down right there on that one statement. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend and bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. See, he's picked up that mantle that Moses had first delivered. That, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Excuse me. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Paul takes, it's almost like old Paul Harvey's rest of the story. He takes Moses' story and he adds to it the rest of it so that we understand that through Jesus, we are able to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. And that brings us salvation. We then take on Jesus' life and His victory over sin and death. Now all who call upon the Lord will be saved. So how close is life, real life, abundant life that is not like a mist in the morning? It's as close as a prayer and a confession. Jesus is alive, and He is Lord of my life. It has that personal aspect to it, doesn't it? In John 15, Jesus pictured it this way. He said that He is the trunk of the tree, and we are the branches. For branches to thrive and to live, they must remain attached to the trunk, right? If we abide in Jesus, He will abide in us. We must remember His warning, apart from me, you can do nothing. We were created to be fruitful branches for God's kingdom. We can do so only as we abide in Christ. So God is living and He is powerful. He is the bestower of life. He sent His own Son to secure true living for us. Of course, that's what this whole next season is about, isn't it? We're in Lent. We're leading up to Holy Week. Excuse me. And because of that, it leaves us with choices. They're life's most important choices. For they determine the quality of life, not only that we live in this world, but that we will live in eternity. Each time the gospel is proclaimed, these haunting words of Moses come back. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life so that you may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. So the question for us this morning as we examine our lives is, are we still living a fleeting, fake, mist-like experience or existence? Have we truly chosen life? If not, by default, you are choosing death. So how will you answer the true lover of your souls today? Choosing life and blessing is what we must do so that we can live. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and verse 13 said it so well. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved, for it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You. We thank You for this congregation, for where You have planted them out here on Bicegadel Road. Lord, we ask that You would bless this congregation, that they would grow and be salt and light for You right here. And Lord, that You would quicken all of us to see where You're at work around us and to join You in that work. Father, we ask that You would be with Stephen and Sue as they travel. We ask that You would bring them home safely. And Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the life that we have in Jesus. We thank You for this Easter season. All of this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.